بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 23rd session, and we're going to start today the review of the last 10 chapters. The last 10 chapters are the special reading rules for Quran. These are rules that some of them are small, very simple, easy rules to learn, but they are important. You have to know them. Not knowing these rules will cause a person when they read the Quran to read the Quran wrong. And that's unacceptable. It's obligatory when a person reads the Quran, they read it correctly. But if you don't know the rules, it's not possible for you to read it correctly. So these little rules, some of them very, very simple, some of them not as simple, they're critical, important for you to read the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we finished the alphabets, we reviewed the alphabets, reading vowels, short vowels, long vowels, diphthongs, shadda, sukoon, all of that. We finished that review. So these rules here that remain are really extra points, but they are very important. I don't know if we can do all 10 of the rules today, but we'll see what we can do. The main thing today, if you missed any class of these 10 chapters, last 10 chapters, if you missed any class or you don't remember something from those rules, it's very important today to get it. It's very important that you ask if there's something that's not clear. Some of the rules, as I said, are very simple. If you hear the explanation, it's there. It doesn't require anything, except to review it from time to time so you don't forget it. That's it, really. So, previously, for those who were in the class in the beginning, I sent out the notes for these last 10 chapters, notes that are not in the book. If anybody did not receive those notes, then today, make sure you make a note on the attendance sheet. Just put next to your name, your email address, and next to your name, notes. So I know that you want to get those notes. By the way, inshallah, probably I'll send the notes out to everybody. But specifically, if somebody didn't get them, just to make sure, we want to make sure you got it, then please put put a notation on the attendance sheet. The notes for the last 10 chapters. Just put notes. That will be sufficient, inshallah. Otherwise, I'll probably send them out to everybody. And it's important for you to read them, to reread them, to review them from time to time, and then to try to implement them, practice them in your reading of the Qur'an. Okay, we're going to start with lesson number 40. Well, we're up to lesson number 44. But we're going to start with lesson number 45. Okay, lesson number 44 and 45 are related to one another. Okay, these two lessons are connected to one another. But we're going to do lesson number 45 first. And the reason for that is because lesson number 45 deals with the general rule concerning this particular matter. And lesson number 44 deals with the exceptions to the general rule. So I want to explain the rule first. And then after we explain the rule, then we go back to the exception. Allah knows best why they came in this order. But in my mind, I think it's easier for me to explain it this way, to explain the general rule first and then the exception. Okay? So, we're going to look at lesson number 45 first. It says here, by the way, if I have my notes with me, that might be useful. Okay, it says here in the book, Lesson number 45, new element, ma and men. And you see at the top of the page, you have a meem with a fatah, and you have a meem with a tanween, two fatah, with an alif. Okay? So what they are really trying to show here is that, of course, we're talking about the end of a word. If a word ends with a fatah, it's pronounced as a short vowel, ma. But if the word ends with a tanween fatah, two fatahs, then we know that it's going to be different here. Okay, the tanween means that you pronounce that fatah from ma, you pronounce it with a noon sound. So you say men. But note, we note here that this tanween, unlike the two dhammas or the two kasras, this two fatah is followed by an alif. It's followed by an alif. And any word that ends with two fatah, fatatain, tanween fatah, any word that ends with fatatain, the general rule for it is that you always have to write an alif with it. You have to what? Write an alif with it. Okay. Can anybody tell me why we write the alif with it? Why do we write an alif with these words that end with two fatah? How about young man here, can you tell us why we write the alif? Huh? Yeah, if you have a word ending with two fatahs, why do we have to write an alif after it? Huh? Okay, so why are we writing an alif? We have N already, we have two fatahs, that's N. Why are we writing an alif? To elongate the N? Can you help us? He has to go, I think. We're not going to hold you up because we don't want to hold your father up. Only for that reason. Your father saved you today. You want to help us? Uh-huh. Walaikum salam. Okay, you write the aleph in case you stop on it. That's part of it. Okay, so in case you stop on it, then what? Then what? You write, in case we stop on it. In case we stop on it, what? Somebody help. Okay, let's do it like this. You have a word that ends with two dhammas, right? Two kasras, two fathas. General rule, the general rule is that when you stop on a word, you don't pronounce the last vowel. Okay, and that's the way it is if a word ends with two dhammas or two kasras. Like you have muslimun, muslimin. Okay, if you stop on that word, you say muslim. You don't pronounce the vowel on the end, the tanween. You just say muslim if it has two dhammas or if it has two kasras. But in the case of two fatah, if you keep reading, you pronounce the tanween, muslimen. And if you stop on it, you still pronounce the vowel. But you pronounce the vowel instead of as a tanween, you pronounce it as fatah. Aleph, as a long A. You say, Muslima. And that Aleph is written to tell you to do that, to pronounce it as a long vowel. That's the purpose of the Aleph. Then words end with two fatah. If you keep reading the Tanween, you pronounce Tanween, A-N, Muslimen, Kafiran, Mu'minen, whatever, Kitaben. But if you stop on it, that Aleph is to tell you, pronounce it as though it's fatah alif, long vowel A. Muslima. Okay? That's why the alif is written. To tell you that when you stop on it, pronounce it as a long vowel. In other words, it's as though you're elongating the fatah of the tanween, you're elongating with alif. Fatah alif. Now, it's indefinite. Now, tanween usually indicates that a word is indefinite. Okay? Okay, this matter is not complicated. It's not complicated. The only thing you have to remember, you have to review the rule so that you don't forget it. You have to remember that whenever a word ends with two fatha, fatatan, alaykum salam. If you keep reading after that word in a sentence, you pronounce it as a regular tanween, an, n. The same way you would pronounce in or un, if it was two dhammas or two kasras. But if you stop on it, that's where there's a difference. If you stop on a tanween with two dhammas or two kasras, you don't pronounce it at all. You just stop on the last letter without pronouncing the tanween or the vowel. But when you have two fatah, if you stop on that word, you will pronounce the vowel. You pronounce the fatah being elongated by that aleph that you have to write after it. Yeah, stopping or not stopping depends on a number of things. It depends on one thing. Maybe a person runs out of breath. They're in the middle of the ayah, but they can't say anymore. They have to stop and take a breath. So they stop on that word. So if you stop on that word, then you pronounce it as a long vowel A. You might stop on it because it's the end of the ayah. Could be the end of the sentence. Okay? You might stop on it to emphasize the meaning. To emphasize the meaning. Meaning that you came to a point in the statement where the meaning right here, if you stop there, you want to emphasize that point before you go on. So you stop for that reason, even though you didn't run out of breath. And it's not the end of the sentence, but you want to emphasize the meaning. So there are various reasons why you might stop. But the point is, if you stop for any reason whatsoever, then you pronounce it as fatah aleph. Any question about that? Any question? This is only dealing with when you have two fatah. Okay, when you have two fatah. Inshallah, the rule concerning it is not written in detail in the book. That's why I made notes. And inshallah, you'll get it in the email. Now. Oh, no problem. No problem. Okay, so in the book, it says, lesson 45, page 88. Note that double fatha on letters other than round ta, meaning ta marbuta, or the hamza after an alif. Words other than these two cases take on an extra alif that is not pronounced. Yani, it's not pronounced if you keep reading. Okay? It is pronounced if you stop on it. Note that the double fatha is placed on this extra alif. And I'm stopping here because I want to make some notes on a couple of points here. The first one is that what I said already is that that extra aleph is pronounced if you stop on it. Okay, the book says it's not pronounced. It is pronounced if you stop on it. It's not pronounced if you keep reading. Okay, that's one point. Second point, note that the double fatah is placed on this extra aleph. In some cases it is, but generally speaking, it's not placed on the aleph. It's placed on top of the letter of the tanween. In this case, the meem. Okay, whatever letter is taking the tanween, usually the tanween is written on top of that letter. But in some cases, as in this book, it may be written on top of the aleph. But in reality, the original rule is that tanween is written on the letter that it comes with. Just like any other tanween. If you have two dhammas, it's written on the letter, the last letter of the word. If you have two kasras, it's written underneath the last letter of the word. And if you have two fatah, it's written on top of the last letter of the word. But in some cases, sometimes, for whatever reason, they print it on top of the aleph, no problem. But if you read it in the mushaf, you're not going to see it on the aleph. You're going to see it on top of the letter. So I'm making a note. When you see it in the mushaf, it's not going to be on top of the aleph. It's going to be on top of the letter that is connected to, which is where it should be. Okay? Because it's the vowel of that letter. It's a tanween. So it's written on top of that letter. Alright? So that's just a note. You might see it like it is here in the book. But in the mushaf, you're not going to see it like this. In the mushaf, you're going to see it written on top of the letter. Alright? Now, the other point that I need to say here is that it says that this rule, we find this extra aleph written on words other than words that end with tarmabuta and words that end with hamza after aleph, meaning a word has an aleph at the end of it, followed by a hamza. Hamza is the last letter before it is an aleph. These two cases, words that end with tarmabuta and words that end with hamza that have an aleph before the hamza at the end of the word, in those cases we're not going to write this aleph that we're talking about in this lesson right here. And we'll go back to that because that's the exception. But right now we want to deal with the rule. All words except those two cases are going to be according to this rule. You're going to write the aleph. And you're going to pronounce the aleph if you stop or pause on the word. Okay? Let's see if there's anything else that I need to say here. Yeah, there is something else here. You see in your notes that it says, if we stop or pause in a word that ends with double fatah, the alif is pronounced as a long vowel. This is called med al-iwad. This, pronouncing this tanween at the end of a word when you pause on it, pronouncing it as a fatah alif, it's called med al-iwad. That's in the notes, inshallah, that you will get, if you didn't already get them previously when we did this. Just as a note, that's, you should know, that's called med al-iwad. When you study tajweed, you'll see med al-iwad, that's what it is. It's this. It's this med that's only pronounced if you stop on that word that ends with two fatah. Okay, and then it just says that it refers back to the exceptions to this rule. Exceptions to this rule is whenever you have two tanween with two fatah, if the word ends with tarmabuta, or the word ends with, as we will see, we look at this exception, ends with a hamza that has before the hamza an alif. We're not going to write another alif after the hamza. There's an alif before the hamza, we're not going to write another alif after the hamza. Okay, in other words, the general rule is that you write an alif after a tanween with fatah. But in this case, if there's already alif before it, and then the hamza has a fatah tain, we're not going to write another alif after it. We're going to see it in the examples and for the exception. Okay? Okay, that's basically it. Okay, so let's look at the exercises for this chapter. Okay, we're going to read them, inshallah, as we normally do. Keeping in mind what? That we're going to read them two ways. We're going to read them in pause form, and we're going to read them in continual form. Okay, first we're going to read them in continual form, because that's the way we normally read. Okay, we're going to pronounce them as though we continue reading. That means we're going to pronounce it as a tanween. When we read it in pause form, we're going to pronounce it as mad iwad, that is fatta alif, long vowel. Okay? Fayyib. Lesson 45, page 88, line number 1. Continual form. Kalaman. Kitaban. Kabiran. Okay, let's go back and read in pause form, if you stopped on it. Kalama. Kitaba. Kabira. Line 2, continual form. Line 2, Kafuran. Aliman. Zaburan. Okay, in pause form. Kafura. Alima. Zabura. Line 3. Continual form. Sami'an. Su'an. Don't pronounce it like ayn, it's hamza. Su'an. Juz'an. Okay, pause form. Line 3. Sami'a. Su'a. Juz'a. Okay, let's look at line 1 again. Let's read a couple of words in both forms. Okay, we're going to read it in continual form and then pause form back to back. Okay? Kalaman. Kalama. Kitaban. Kitaba. Kabiran. Kabira. Okay, this is the general rule. Words that end with fattatan, two fattas, tanween with fatta. Words that end with that, they're going to be written with an alif. And that alif is to tell us, if we stop on the word or pause on that word, we're going to pronounce that alif as though it's elongating the fatta of the tanween. Okay, if we keep reading, we're going to read as a regular tanween, an, like we just did, kitaban. If we stop, we're going to act like it's not tanween, we're going to act like it's fatta, alif. An alif elongating the fetter, long vowel. Kitaba. Naam. Why is it? I hear you. As opposed to? The letter? Yeah. Why is the tanween above the aleph instead of it being above the letter, the last letter of the word? They just, sometimes they print it like that. I mean, I don't know if there's some wisdom behind it, some real purpose of it. But it's written like that sometimes. It could be just because, you know, the computer, you know, the way the computers function. Maybe they don't, you know, they have some problem with the way they type certain things. In the Mus'haf, it's going to be written on top of the letter. Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is, it doesn't matter if it's written on the Aleph or on top of the letter. The point is, you're still going to read it the same way. I'm just alerting you to the fact that when you read the Mus'haf, because that's what we're learning this for, to read the Mus'haf, right? So when you read the Mus'haf, know that the Tanween is going to be on top of the letter that it's connected to, not on top of the Aleph. But maybe in some printings, in some Mus'haf that's printed in different places, they might print it on top of the Aleph. That's possible. But in the Mus'haf of Medina, the Mus'haf that we are practicing reading from and that we recommend that you should read from, it's written on top of the letter. Now,
is there a possibility that you will have a case where the Tawin is indeed on top of the Alif and then you have another Alif after it, as if this were acting as a consonant? Because for the general rule, for a word as long as...
That you would have Tanwin on top of Aleph and then another Aleph after it? No.
No.
No. Because the Aleph here is not a consonant. Okay, we said the Aleph is not a consonant. So Aleph really, no vowel can be written with Aleph in reality. Okay? Because Aleph is not a consonant. It doesn't take a vowel. The real letter that's taken that vowel is the last letter before the Aleph. That's the last letter of the word. The Aleph is just being added, just to remind you how to pronounce it if you stop on it. Okay, the real consonant is the last letter of the word. Aleph is not a consonant. If you see a vowel written on top of Aleph, that's the only way you're going to see that, if it's Hamzatul Wasl. And that really is just a vowel that's being added to pronounce. The same way this Aleph is being added for pronunciation. It's not really a letter of the word. It's not really a part of that word. It's only added to the word just to pronounce it. Okay, so you will see a vowel there. That vowel is only there to help to pronounce the word that begins with a sukoon. So they put Hamzatul Wasl in front of it. Okay, when we get to the lesson there on Hamzatul Wasl, we'll talk about that further. Okay, but no, you won't see a tanween written on an aleph as though the aleph is a consonant and then another aleph after. You won't see that, no. Okay, let's go back to lesson 44. Lesson 44 is the exception to what we just talked about. We said that every noun, every word in Arabic that's not a verb or a preposition or something, nouns and adjectives, they usually are written with tanween. And that tanween, if it's two fattahs, it's going to have an aleph written after it. But there are some exceptions to that. Okay, there are two exceptions. One of the exceptions is words that end with ta marbuta. And the other exception is words that end with hamza that has before the hamza an aleph. Okay, a word that ends with a hamza, but the letter, the next to the last letter, just before the Hamza, is an Aleph. In that case, words that end like this, these are two exceptions. These kind of words, we're not going to write another Aleph at the end of, after the Tanween. We're not going to write another Aleph. Aleph is not going to be written. Okay, these two cases, the rules concerning them are a little bit different. Okay, so I'm going to take the second one first. Again, out of order. Okay, the first one is Taramabuta, as you can see on the top of the page. The second one is Hamza. And this Hamza is Hamza til Qat. It's not Hamza til Wasl. It's a Hamza that's a part, original part of the word. Hamza til Wasl is added to a word. But this Hamza is actually part of the word. Okay? And when we talk about Hamza til Wasl, we'll go into this in a little more detail. But now I just want to mention that this Hamza that we're talking about here is Hamza til Qat. Meaning it's the Hamza that's an original part of the word. And you always have to pronounce that Hamza. Okay, Hamza til Wasl, you only pronounce it if a word begins with Hamzatul Wasl and there's no letter or word before it, then you pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl. But Hamzatul Qat is always pronounced. It doesn't matter what comes before it, and nothing is before it, or something is before it, you always pronounce Hamzatul Qat. This is the Hamza that we're talking about here. And in the notes, inshallah, on Hamzatul Wasl, I explain what's the difference between Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat in the notes dealing with that chapter, when we reach that chapter, okay? Okay. You will notice that the first and second line examples in this lesson 44 on page 86, the first and second line are examples of words that end with ta marbuta. All of those examples end with ta marbuta. Okay? Pay attention to that. Because the rule concerning ta marbuta is a little different than the rule concerning words that end with hamza preceded by alif. We covered this before. And the notes, inshallah, I sent out before. But we'll send them again in case somebody didn't get them. Okay? Lines number 3, 4, and 5 on page 87, all of those words end with Hamza. So we have two different situations here. Words that end with Tarmabuta, the examples for them are in line 1 and 2. And then we have words that end with Hamza Tilqat, that's preceded by Aleph. The examples for them are on line 3, 4, and 5 on page 87. Okay, so we have examples for this, we have examples for that. I want to start with the second one, that the examples for it are on line 3, 4, and 5. Okay? Both of these cases, words that end with Hamzatul Qat and words that end with Tarmabuta, both of these cases are an exception to the rule that we just discussed in lesson 45. Both of these cases are exception. What's the exception? In both of these cases, there's no alif written after the tanween. What's the exception? There's no alif written after the tanween. The general rule is that you write the aleph. And the aleph is to tell you to pronounce it. If you stop on it, pronounce it as though it's a long vowel. In these two cases, no aleph is written. Okay? They both agree on that point, that there's no aleph written. But now then they separate on the next point. Okay, the Hamza that's preceded by Aleph, the reason why we're not writing an Aleph after it, yes, is because there's already Aleph before it. So they don't want to write an Aleph before and an Aleph after it. Okay, that's the reason for it, basically. The reason why there's no Aleph written after the Tarmabuta is because the Tarmabuta must be the last letter of a word. They don't allow any letter to come after Tarmabuta. Always. We said that when we dealt with the lessons on Tarmabuta, we explained that Tarmabuta is always the last letter of a word. Nothing can ever follow it. If you add a suffix to a word, yani some pronoun or something to the end of a word that ends with Tarmabuta, you can't use Tarmabuta. You got to change it to a regular open ta maftuha. Because Tarmabuta must be the last letter of a word. So you can't put an aleph there because Tarmabuta always got to end the word. So this is the reason why there's no aleph written there. That's okay, that's brief explanation. What's important here is how do you read these words, these two exceptions where there's no aleph? How do you read them? The second exception, the examples in line 3, 4, and 5, the second exception, that is, words that end with Hamzatul Qat, that's preceded by aleph, we're not going to write an aleph after it. But when we read it, we're going to read it according to the rule that we already had, the general rule. We're not going to write the aleph, but we're going to have the same exact rule. No aleph is written there, but guess what? The rule is the same. If you keep reading, you pronounce it as tanween, n. But if you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it as though it's a long vowel. Fatta aleph, med iwad. You're going to pronounce it as though there's elongation there. Fatta aleph. Even though there's no aleph written after it, but you're going to read it according to the rule. The rule is what? When a word ends with fattatain, two fattas, if you stop on it, you got to pronounce it as though it's fatta aleph. Normally, the aleph is going to be written there to tell you to do that. But in this case of hamza at the end of a word, the aleph is not going to be written there to remind you. So you have to remember, if I stop on it, I got to pronounce it as though there's an aleph there. Alright? Same rule as the general rule, except that there's no aleph written there to remind you. Okay, that's the rule for Hamza til qat at the end of a word. No aleph is written, but if you stop on it, you got to pronounce it as though it's fatta aleph. Got it? Inshallah, I send you the notes. You go back and read it over and over and over again until it sticks in your head. Alright? The other rule is for ta marbuta, the round ta, or closed ta. The rule for ta marbuta is different than the rule for this first exception. The rule for Tarmabuta is, the Aleph is not written, nor is it pronounced. If you stop on it, you're not going to pronounce it as Fatta Aleph. A word ends with two Fattas. The last letter of it is Tarmabuta. We're not going to write an Aleph, and if we stop on it, we're not going to pronounce the Aleph. We're not going to pronounce it. Okay, in the previous example, we said, even though the Aleph is not written, we're going to pronounce it according to the general rule. But in this case, the Aleph is not written, and the Aleph is not pronounced. In fact, the Tarmabuta is not even going to be pronounced as Ta, but it's going to be pronounced as Ha, with no vowel sound, short nor long, no vowel sound. You're going to pronounce it as though that word ends with Ha. Okay, now let's look at the examples, inshallah. I'll explain it again as we look at the examples. We're going to look at the examples on page 87, lesson 44. The examples on line 3, 4, and 5. These are examples for words that end with Hamzatul Qat. And that Hamza is preceded by what? Aleph. Okay? Like the first word on line 3 is Bina'an. Bina'an. Notice that the Hamza at the end of that word has tanween, two fattas. There's no aleph written there. But nonetheless, we're going to apply the rule to it. If we stop on that word, instead of pronouncing it tanween, bina'an, we're going to pronounce it what? Bina'a. Jayid? That's how we're going to pronounce it. Even though no aleph is written there, we're going to apply the general rule for fattatain. At the end of a word, you stop on it, you pronounce it as though it's a long vowel. No aleph is written there, but we're going to pronounce it as though there's an aleph written there. But you got to remember that. When you see a word end with fattatain, even though the aleph is not written, if it ends with a hamza, you got to pronounce it as though it's fatta aleph. All right? Huh? The two fattatain is pronounced an, right? But that's if you continue reading. If you stop on a word that ends with two fattatain, we're not going to pronounce it an. We're going to pronounce it fatta aleph. Usually, in most words, the aleph is going to be written. It'll remind you to do that. But in this type of word, the ends with hamza, the aleph is not going to be written, but you still got to apply that rule. Got it? Okay? Even though the aleph is not written, we're going to pronounce the aleph if we stop on it. We keep reading, we're going to pronounce the tanween, an. Alright? These rules that we're talking about right now, lesson 44 and 45, are all related to words that end with two fatta. It's not applicable to two dhammas or two kasras. Forget about that. That's gone already. We finished with that. This is a special rule for two fatta. It's a simple rule. You stop on it, instead of pronouncing it as a tanween, an, you pronounce it fatta aleph. Ah. Okay? Usually there's an aleph written there to tell you to do that. But in this case, when it ends with Hamzatul Qat, there's no aleph. To remind you to do it, you just got to remember on your own. Same rule as we had already in the lesson 45. Same rule, except no aleph is written. Okay? Okay, so we're going to read it two ways. We're going to read it in our normal way of continue reading as tanween, an. And then we're going to read it in the pause form as fatta aleph, mad aywad, yani as a long vowel a. Okay? Okay, we're on page 87, line number 3. Bina'an. Bina'a.
Bina'a.
Sama'an.
Sama'an.
Sama'a.
Sama'a.
Fina'an.
Fina'an.
Fina'a.
Fina'a.
Abna'an.
Abna'a.
Line 4. Kisa'an.
Kisa'an.
Kisa'a.
Kisa'a.
Aba'an.
Aba'an.
Aba'a.
Aba'a.
Notice this word, aba'an. The med on the front of it indicates that this word is written with a hamza, with fatta, followed by an aleph that's elongating it. But instead of writing two alephs, one aleph as a seat for hamza, and one aleph as elongation of the fatta, we just write one aleph with a little med on top of it. It's just a regular med. It just means there's two counts. That's just a, it means that it's a hamza wa fatha that's elongated to two counts by another aleph that we're not going to write. Okay? Okay, so that word should be pronounced as though it's a hamza wa fatha followed by an aleph. Ah, two count. A-ba-an. A-ba-a. Jala'an. Jala'a. Liqa'an. Liqa'a. Line 5. Du'a'an. Du'a'a. Ziya'an. Ziya'a. Baqa'an. Baqa'a. Asma'an. Asma'a. Tayyib. Hopefully, inshallah, when you look at this rule in the notes, it will be crystal clear to you. And whatever you can't retain in your memory, and you didn't have a chance to write down, it will be right there in the notes, inshallah. All you got to do is read those notes and go back and read the exercises, inshallah. Okay, the next lesson, lesson 46 on page 89, is an extension of what we are doing here. It's an extension, okay? Basically, what this lesson is dealing with, it says here, new element, ma.
Sheikh.
Yes.
You didn't go over the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hasty, right? I'm sorry. Zakalakai. Okay. Okay, yeah, we're going to go back. That's right. We have to do the first lines, 1 and 2, which deal with words ending in tara marbuta. And we said that the rule concerning tarmabuta, there are two things. Number one, words ending with tarmabuta and two fatha, we're not going to write an aleph after it. Okay? But unlike words ending with hamzatul qat preceded by aleph, we're not going to write the aleph, but we're going to pronounce the aleph if we stop on it. But with tarmabuta, we're not going to write the aleph and we're not going to pronounce the aleph. We're not going to pronounce the tanween. And we're not going to pronounce the tarmabuta as ta. We're going to pronounce it as ha. Alright? We're going to pronounce it as ha. Ha. The letter ha. Like at the end of the alphabet. Ha. Wow. Ya. Hamza. Ha. We're going to pronounce it like ha.
And although we went over this before, so a ta becomes a ha.
If you stop on a word that ends with tarmabuta, we're going to pronounce it as ha. In the rules of tarmabuta, we said that tarmabuta is pronounced two ways. It can be pronounced like a ta, it can be pronounced like a ha. That's why its form is unique. It has the form of the letter ha, but it has the dots of the letter ta. Okay? And those dots of the letter ta mean that we're going to pronounce it as a ta if we continue reading, but we're going to pronounce it as a ha if we stop or pause on it. Okay, so here we're talking about what? We're talking about when you pause. When we read continual, we're going to pronounce the tarmabuta as a ta. And we're going to pronounce the tanween as a regular tanween. But if we stop on it, we're not going to pronounce the tanween. And we're not going to pronounce the tarmabuta as a ta. Rather, we're going to pronounce it as ha. Okay, we'll see it, inshallah, right now. Yes. If you stop, you pronounce it as ha. Yes, like in the word Hamza. Yeah, like in the word Mecca. Like in the word Salah, Zakah. Huh? Tarmabuta is usually indicating a word is feminine. But not every word that ends with tarmabuta is feminine. Huh? I'm sorry. Yeah, Hamza, the name Hamza, it's a masculine proper noun that ends with tarmabuta. Tarmabuta is the feminine ending, but the word is a masculine noun. Like Hamza, like Muawiyah, like Usama. So many words, male names. If they end with Tarmabuta, that's the feminine ending of the word, but the name is a masculine name. Okay, the name is a masculine name. Huh? Yeah, there are some masculine names that have feminine ending. There are some feminine names that don't have a feminine ending. Like Zainab. There's no feminine ending. That's a feminine name though. And Usama has a feminine ending, but it's a masculine name. Okay? So, there are some cases. No. Alright, listen. Just so that we don't get lost on this point. What we're talking about here is, going back to the beginning, talking about the general rule, words end with two fatah. Normally they have an aleph written after them. And that is to tell you when you stop on it, you pronounce it as fatah aleph. There are two exceptions. Words that end with hamzatul qat, with an aleph before it. That aleph after it is not going to be written, but we're going to pronounce it if we stop on it. The second exception is words that end with tarmabuta. That's what we're looking at right now. Words that end with ta marbuta. They have two fatahs. We're not going to write an aleph, nor we're going to pronounce it as though it's elongation. Nor we're going to pronounce the tanween as though it's an. Nor are we going to pronounce the tarmabuta as a ta, but rather we're going to pronounce it as ha. Okay, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. On page 86, line number 1. Line number 1. The first word, ayaten. If we stop on it, we're going to say, ayah. Ha. Ayah. Ayah. Ha. Ha. Okay? We're not going to pronounce it ayat. Like we normally say, zakat. Salat. That's wrong. It's not salat. Salah. It's not pronounced ha. If you stop on it, you don't say zakat. You stop on it, you pronounce it zakah. That's ta marbuta. Ta marbuta is pronounced ha. If you stop on it. If you continue reading, naam, then you pronounce it as ta. But if you just say zakah, you don't say zakat. That's not correct. You have to pay the zakat. No, you have to pay the zakah. Zakah. Ha. Salah. Uh-huh. Zakatul, if you join it now, you say zakatul mal. Because you're joining it to something, so you continue. Naam. Okay? So, let's go back again. Lesson 44, page 86, line number 1. I'm going to read it first in continual mode, and then we're going to read in pause, okay? Ayatan.
Ayatan.
Ayah.
Ayah.
Sanatan.
Sanatan.
Sana.
Sana.
Sunnatan.
Sunnatan.
Sunnah.
Sa'atan.
Sa'ah. Line 2.
Jihatan.
Jiha. Musibatan.
Musibah.
Rahmatan.
Rahma.
Alihatan. Aliha. Naam. Is it clear? If you stop on it, just pronounce it as ha. Forget about the tanween, forget about the vowels, forget about elongation, anything like that. Just pronounce it ha. Like that's the end of the word. Naam. Good? Tayyib. Now we can go on to lesson 46. Jazakallah khair. Lesson 46, new element ma. Note that an undotted ya at the end of the word, which can only be preceded by a fatha, is pronounced ah. Okay, an undotted ya, meaning the letter ya, the form of the letter ya is written, but it doesn't have its two dots. Okay, it doesn't have the two dots. That is not really ya, that is alif maksura. That's an alif, called alif maksura. Okay, in the notes we explain that there's two types of alif. Alif mamduda, that we normally see, written straight up as a straight line. Right? And there's alif maksura, that's written in the shape of a ya at the end of a word, but it doesn't have two dots. Both of them are alif. Both of them are an extension of the fatha vowel, making it long two counts. They are pronounced the exact same way. Fatha, alif. Whether it's alif maksura or alif mamduda, it's pronounced exactly the same way. It's just that, in certain words, because of the origin of the root of that word, is written in the form of a ya in some words. In other words, it's written like a regular alif. But both of them, in terms of how you read them, are the same. Both of them are an elongation of fatha. Okay, so notice on the top of the page, you have, on the top of the page, before line one, you have meem, kasra, ya, me. Then you have meem, fatha, ya, may. The first one is elongation of kasra with ya. The second one is the ya that's preceded by a fatha. That's not elongation, what? That's a combination of two different vowel sounds. Diphthong. Okay? The third case is a meme with a fatha followed by what looks like a ya, but it doesn't have the two dots of ya. That's not a diphthong. Okay? That's not two different vowel sounds. That's really a fatha elongated by alif. That's a fatha elongated by aleph. But that aleph is written in the shape of a ya without the two dots. That's not ya. That's aleph, maksura. Yeah, there's something that's far beyond our discussion today. It's something in terms of what's called sarf, which is the composition of individual words in the Arabic language. How do you make words? How do you compose words? Okay? And that's something that's very advanced. But I'm just saying that there's a reason for it. It's not just haphazard. They made some words like this. No, there's a reason for it. There's a root reason for it. But that root is beyond us. Beyond us.
No.
They know which one to use? Yeah. Aleph Maksura, Aleph Mamduda? I mean, if they know Arabic well, they'll know. If they don't know Arabic well, the common Arab might not know which one to use. Except they memorize the word, so they know, okay, and that word is written like this. They might, because they just memorize the word. But otherwise, they might not know. They might write it any kind of way. Because if they just write it the way they hear it, they might write it as Aleph Mamduda, not even being aware. But some words, you will know that it's Aleph Maksura, because you know that word. When you see that word, you know it's always written like this. So you're going to write it like that. Just like us in English, certain words, we don't know why it's spelled a certain way, but we just learned it like that. So when you spell that word, you write it even though it doesn't sound like that. You write it other than the way it sounds, because you learned it like that, and it's stuck in your head. Yeah, we don't know why we spell certain words a certain way. It doesn't even sound like that. It's, you spell it a different way than the way it sounds. We don't know why we spell it like that. Yeah. Now. Yeah. That's right.
But when you go to toe, yeah. You look at it,
you
say,
yeah. Okay? So if you hear somebody say, send me a tow truck, you know that it's spelled like ow sound in how or cow or bow, but we say tow. But you still know how to spell it OW because you just learned it like that. It doesn't make any sense. Why is it this OW is like this and this OW is like this? We don't know why. We just know that that's the way we learned it. This is cow and this is toe. And they're both O-W. Okay? But you just learned it like this. So some people, Arab, he might know that this is how it's spelled. Like this. This one is spelled like this and this one is spelled like this. Because that's the way he learned it. Okay? Amrika is spelled with Aleph Mamduda. Amrika. Mustafa is spelled with Aleph Maksura. That's just the way it's written like that. Okay, both of them end with Fatha Aleph. But one is alif mamduda, one is alif maksura. And that's the way it is in Arabic, okay? So, the point here is that you want to be careful to remember that this meme fatha alif maksura that's written in the form of a ya without its dots is equal to meme fatha alif mamduda. If you see on the top of page, what is that? I can't see without my glasses. Page 89. On the top line you have me, may, and ma. And the third word, it has after it, meem, fatta, aleph. These two words are equal. They're both fatta alif. One is alif maksura, and the second one in the parenthesis is alif mamduda. But they are both an elongation of fatta, two count elongation, and they are pronounced exactly the same. Okay, so what do we want to know here? We just want to know that there's such a letter, it's called alif maksura. It's written in the form of a ya, but no dots. Okay, there are a number of things that distinguish it from ya. The most important thing that distinguishes it from ya is that ya is either preceded by kasra, which the ya is elongating the kasra, or is preceded by fatha as a diphthong. But in that case, that ya will be written with its dots, and it will have a sukoon. So you know that that's a diphthong. But otherwise, if you see a letter that ends with what looks like a ya, and it doesn't have any dots, and it has a fatha before it, then we know that that's alif maksura. Okay? Ya elongates kasra. Alif maksura elongates fatha. So if you see it preceded by a kasra, that's ya. If you see it preceded by a fatha, that's alif maksura. Alright? Okay, let's read. Page 89, lesson 46, line number 1. Remember that letter at the end that looks like a ya with no dots. That's alif maksura. That just means it's a long vowel A. Line number 1. Mata. Baka. Rama. Hatta. Was shadda on the ta. Hatta. Ila. Line 2. Ala. Bala. Musa. Isa. Line 3. Tadalla. Adra. Abba. Atta. Next page. Page 90. Line number 4. Yanha. Yabqa. Talaqqa. That's qaf with shadda. Talaqqa. Line 5. Now here they're mixing up the ya in some words and alif maksura in some words. So pay attention. If you see the two dots, pay attention. If you don't see the dots, just note that. Okay, line number 5. Abi. Abba.
Abba.
Note that these two words are written exactly the same, except one of them ends with ya, and the second one ends with alif maksura. The one that ends with ya is preceded by a kasra, so the ya is elongating the kasra. The one that's ending with alif maksura is preceded by fatha, so the alif maksura is elongating the fatha. Okay? Again, line 5, abi. That's ya extending the kasra, elongating the kasra. Aba.
Aba.
That's alif maksura, elongating the fatha. Yadri.
Yadri.
Adra.
Adra.
Line 6. Yabki.
Yabki.
Yabqa. Ahdi. Ahda. Okay, really this matter is not really complicated. The only complication for you that I want to make a note of is that in the Mus'haf of Medina, the ya at the end of words is written without its dots. The ya, the elongates kasra, when it's written on the end of words, the ya is written without its dots. So you have to pay attention. It's written the same way alif maksura is written. But if it's preceded by kasra, you know it's ya. If it's preceded by fatha, you know it's alif maksura. Huh? Yes, you pronounce it. Yeah, this all everything has to be always. The only thing we don't pronounce is what we talked about in the rule of what? We talked about a different rule and you know related to something else. Alif maksura is alif. It elongates fatha. You pronounce it. Now you always pronounce it. If what looks like alif maksura, if is preceded by kasra, then we know that's not alif maksura, that's ya. Because kasra is elongated by ya. Okay? Fatta is elongated by alif. So if that which looks like a ya is preceded by fatta, that means it's alif. Because fatta is only elongated by alif. It's just written in the form of a ya without its dots. If it's preceded by kasra, then we know it's ya, even though it doesn't have its dots. Because kasra is only elongated by ya. We're only dealing with this. We're only dealing with one thing. We're only dealing with what looks like a ya. If it's at the end of a word, the ya at the end of a word, it could be ya, it could be alif maksura. We're only dealing with one letter, that's all. This one letter, ya, at the end of a word. Only at the end of a word. We're not talking about anywhere else. Only once at the end of a word. Because alif maksura can only be at the end of a word. A ya can be in the beginning of a word, could be in the middle of a word, could be in the end of the word. But alif maksura can only be in the end of the word. So the only time you could get confused with this is when the ya is at the end of the word. Because alif maksura can only come at the end of the word. So if it's at the end of the word, it could be alif maksura, it could be ya. How do you know? If it's preceded by kasra. Kasra is only elongated by ya. If it's preceded by fatta, fatta is only elongated by alif. So depending on what the vowel is, the letter after is elongating that vowel. If it's a fatta, you know it got to be alif maksura. If it's a kasra, it got to be ya. Okay, in the mushaf, the ya on the end of words is not written with the two dots of ya. It's not written. So in that case, you could get confused between ya and alif maksura. But how do you know? Whatever vowel is before that letter tells you that that vowel is going to be elongated by the letter that elongates it. The only thing that elongates fatta is alif. The only thing that elongates kasra is ya. Yeah. So if it's the kasra, you know it's ya. If it's a fatta, you know it's alif. Tayyib? Okay, that being said, next lesson. The next lesson is dealing with the same thing. Dealing with alif maksura. Okay, we just talked about alif maksura. And it's dealing with words that end with fattatain, tanween, which we talked about in the first two lessons. Okay, it's dealing with two things. It's dealing with alif maksura, which is an alif, but it's just written like a ya without two dots. And it's dealing with words that end with tanween, two fatta. Okay? What's the rule for words ending with fattatain, two fatta? The rule for it is that we're going to follow it with an alif, right? But in some words, the alif that it's going to follow, that's going to follow it, is not the straight up alif, alif mamduda. Because now we know that there's two types of alif, right? So sometimes the alif that's going to follow that fattatain, instead of it being a straight up alif, it's going to be the alif that looks like a ya without its two dots. It's still alif. Both of them are alif. Okay? So words that end with two fatta, tanween. Our original rule that we started with, the first lesson that we dealt with, lesson 45, we said that words that end with tanween, the general rule, if it's two fattas, it has to be followed by an alif, right? Now we're saying that alif could be alif mamdud or alif maksura. The alif maksura that we just talked about. It could be either one of them. Okay? So the same exact rule applies. Doesn't matter if alif mamdud or alif maksura. Doesn't matter. If you continue reading that word, you're going to pronounce tanween. If you stop on the word, you're going to do what? Pronounce it as fatta alif. Same rule. It's just that this alif here is alif maksura. Okay, so this is not really a new rule. We're only saying that sometimes the alif that follows two fatta, sometimes the alif is written straight up, sometimes it's written like a ya without its two dots. Still alif. Alright? Same exact rule. If you continue reading, you pronounce it as tanween. A-N. If you stop on it, you pronounce it as fatta alif. Same exact rule. Okay, just pay attention. Pay attention. That this alif maksura, if it doesn't have two dots and it's preceded by fatta or fattatain, two fattas, that's alif. If it's preceded by fatta, it's alif. It's not ya. Okay, just pay, make in your mind, remember that whenever it's preceded by fatta, that's alif. It's alif maksura. Okay, so the same rule applies. It's an alif. Following a tanween with two fatta. If you keep reading, you recite it as a regular tanween, A-N. But if you stop on it, then you pronounce that alif as though it's elongating the fatta. Pronounce it as mad'iwat, fatta alif. Okay, let's see how it looks. Okay, let's look at it. This is lesson number 47, page 91. If the word ends with an undotted ya, and the penultimate letter, meaning the letter before the undotted ya, has double fatta, the long A is shortened to A. Meaning, what they mean by that, it's shortened to A, meaning it's pronounced, instead of as a long A, it's pronounced as A-N, tanween. Okay, it's pronounced as tanween. So, huda, fatta alif maksura, if it has two fattas, it becomes hudan, tanween, hudan. But that is, it's pronounced hudan, in what case? You continue reading. Whereas if you stop on it, goes back to our rule, huda. Okay? It's a tanween on the end of a word, two fatta. If you continue reading, you pronounce it as tanween, n. Pronounce it as tanween, n. But if you stop on it, then you pronounce it as fatta alif, huda. Alright? Let's see how it looks. Line number 1, page 91. If we continue reading, we would say hudan. If we stop on it, we will say, Huda. Continue reading, Mawlan. Stop or pause, Mawla. Sudan. Suda. Duhan. Duha. Line number 2. Mustashfan. Mustashfa. Madan. Mada. Mustafan. Mustafa. Okay, again, the rule here is the same rule that we had in the beginning. Our original rule. Words that end with to fatta, tanween. That rule is, words that end with two fatta will be followed by an alif. Huh? And that alif is to tell you, if you stop on that word, pronounce it as though the alif is elongating the fatta of the tanween. It's as though it's elongating the fatta of the tanween. So instead of pronouncing tanween, hoden, if we stop on it, we're going to pronounce it as though that alif maksura on the end is elongating the fatta of the tanween. Huda. We keep reading, hudan. We stop, huda. It's the same exact rule that we had in lesson number 45. Except that in lesson 45, the alif that we were writing is a straight up, straight line. Alif mamduda. And in this lesson, the alif that we're writing is written down in the form of a ya at the end of a word without its two dots. But both of them are alif. Both of them is two counts extending the fatta. From fatta, from a, to ah. No matter if it's written straight up or it's written down as alif, doesn't matter. Same thing. Okay, it's just alif. Alif maksura, alif mamduda. Jayid? Now, you have to remember, brothers and sisters, that this is review. We had this before. We had this before. Just a couple of months ago. Maybe how long ago? A month or so ago. Yeah, and that's why I always say, please review your lessons. Please review your lessons. Please. If you don't review it, and it's not possible to remember all of these things if you're not reviewing it. It's not possible for anybody. I mean, except somebody just has an exceptional memory. Very exceptional memory. I mean, there are some people whose memories are exceptional. So that's different. But for the normal people, if you don't review it, especially something that's new to you, if you don't review it, you're not going to retain it. These rules are very important. Believe me, you don't know how important they are. You don't know how many people I have seen who have studied Arabic and went to advanced levels of Arabic, but they never had these rules. And they actually don't know them. They don't know them. Because most Arabic books don't explain these rules. I've read 101 different Arabic books over the years. This is the first time I ever came across these rules like this. This is the first book I ever saw this in. Some of these rules we saw different places, but not in basic Arabic books where you learn Arabic for the first time. It's not there. So people sometimes they go to advanced levels and they didn't reach this yet. Well, this is something that you're supposed to get in the beginning. This is foundation. And most books don't give this. You might see some of these rules in books that explain tajweed. But in general Arabic books, you don't see this. Like the people who's in our level 2 class, some of them, they don't know these rules. Because sometimes we go over stuff, they don't know it. I'm saying, this we learn in level 1. Sure. Yeah. Now, somebody had a question? Page 44,
86,
now.
Line 1, first word. When you pronounce it, I'm not sure. I thought I heard you say, iyatan.
No, not iya, no. Ayatan. 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 No. If I did, it's just an error. Human error. But in any case, it should be pronounced, not e, ayatan. Because you connecting the fetha sound that's elongated, it's going into the sound of the ya. So it gives it a sound of, you know, almost being connected to two different vowel sounds. Because you're saying Because you're saying ya. That's a different sound. Yeah. Now,
that's what I thought I heard.
It should be
elongated.
Now,
elongated. Correct.
Now,
the next thing I want to mention to the brothers that if you just type in the name of the book or the
author,
you can download this PDF to your phone or to whatever.
MashaAllah.
This book? Yeah, this book is.
Okay, so the brother's saying if you I guess Google, huh?
Yeah.
The name of this book or the author, you can find the book where you can download it as a PDF file.
Yeah.
Jayid, that's excellent. Now, that's excellent.
This has been my profile. That the rules that you gave us with regards to reviewing and studying every day.
Yeah.
That's what I did not do, and you suffered. You said that at some point, if I'm not doing that, you're going to suffer.
Tayyib, inshallah, it's not too late for us to try now to develop good study habits. And from good study habits, the person reviewed. Are you? Two things. Number one, always review the lesson that you had and try to preview the next lesson. Any class, anything that you study, whatever it is, whether it's Arabic or Quran or math or science. This is one of the ways of learning that a person can learn well, is that whenever you're studying anything, you take a lesson with a teacher, go back and review it after the class. Preferably the same day, while it's fresh in your mind, so that you reinforce it. And the second thing is that you always try to preview the next lesson. If you know what's going to be taught in the next lesson, like you have a book that you're following, you preview the next lesson. You go back and read it, and try to go over it, and see what you can get out of it, and what you understand from it. And then, when you go to class, Ya Rahmukullah, you already have in your mind what you can understand and what you didn't understand, what you know and what you don't know, so you can focus better on what is about to be presented. This is just something that, believe me, this is what one of my teachers told me, and I found when I practice it, I've benefited so much for years and years and years. This is something that I've practiced, and it works. You know, try to do it if you can. You know, review is very important. Tayyib, Allahu Musta'an. Yeah, we'll have to stop here, inshallah.